Monday morning, Brent Lux filling in, Evan Bray Show. Evan back in the chair here tomorrow. We're counting down to warmer weather. Boy, what a weird time it's been. Saturday was a pretty nice day. Sunday, a lot of the province had cool temperatures and more rain, and that's the kind of day today is shaping up too, with the shower activity all around central Saskatchewan, more tonight and even tomorrow. But as we get further down the road into the week, I see sunny days and warmer temperatures. Not hot, hot. I don't see any 30-degree days in there, but certainly mid to high 20s coming up towards the end of the week, which will be nice to see. And you think about counting down this time of the year, school wrapping up for a lot of the students around Saskatchewan in the coming days as well. Boy, what a wonderful feeling, huh? No matter what your age in life, you can always think back to those days when you were all done school for the summer. Nothing better. Okay, lots to talk about on the program here today. As you may have heard on our newscast, we are going to be going to RCMP Depot in Regina at 9:30. We'll be breaking away and carrying the news briefing there from the Saskatchewan RCMP related to the shooting incident that occurred in Melville in the early morning hours. As one person is in police custody now, two members of the Melville detachment of the RCMP in hospital with serious injuries after the shooting that occurred. They were called to this residence in Melville just after 9:30 last evening. The officers upon arrival were shot. Since then, there was a large police response, of course. And then around 2 o'clock this morning, an individual and another person, two people actually, left the house. The one person was taken into police custody. So more details we're expecting coming up just after 9:30 this morning, right here on News Talk 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Turning now to my next guest, who happens to be Bronwyn Ayre. Bronwyn, well-known in Saskatchewan, former Attorney General and Justice Minister. And Bronwyn, now a senior fellow at the Aristotle Foundation for Public Policy. And she joins us now to talk about a couple of things. Bronwyn, welcome to the program. There we are. Hello.
Hi.
How are you today?
Great.
So some stuff that caught my eye recently I wanted to talk to you about for our Saskatoon audience more than anything. You've been doing a lot of social media posting about the current new library that is, I guess, about 6 months or maybe 8 months away from being completed and opened in downtown Saskatoon. What is it about that library that's got you so concerned?
Well, I think that there are some issues that should be addressed more transparently, and certainly should have been addressed about the current library situation before a new library was built. I think there doesn't appear to be any real plan to address in that new library what those issues are. And you mentioned the social media posts. I mean, people have shared their experiences on there about open drug use and excrement and the rest. It's pretty eye popping in terms of some of the social needs, let's call them, which are presenting there. I also think just on the cost front, Brent. I mean, we know that the new library, is going to cost $150 million. Roughly a quarter of that, says the library, $32 million has been saved, as they put it, through the collection of the library levy, which has gone up every year since 2009, and they say the levy is going to cover debt repayment and operating costs. But the city has borrowed $45 million of a total of $67 million, and there are interest rates in there which are going to inflate the cost at least $40 million. So there's a lot of, you know, voodoo stuff going on there. And one of the reasons that I posted was because, you know, it's unknown to most people, certainly it is to me, you know, what the ongoing cost of operations and just basic maintenance of the library are going to be. You've got all those windows. So there's going to be air conditioning, washing the windows, glass replacements, very expensive. If that is needed down the road, you know, is that part of the overall $150 million? And so on. So, you know, costs don't end the day that you open the doors. And I just think there are a lot of questions out there, you know, including from me and frankly, quite a lot of cynicism.
Are you getting any reaction from the board, from the people at the library about your concerns?
No, I you know, I've done research on what their position was on the budget. And I see, you know, what they have put out there. But no, you haven't heard back from them directly or on the post. I mean, again, there is talk of donors, and that's another thing they've put out there, which will minimize the cost. And, you know, I did a basic Google search. I see that BHP donated $450,000. Again, that's very, very nice, but it's nowhere close to $67 million. So I think there are just some questions out there, justifiable questions. And you know, people have also said, and I thought one gentleman made a really excellent point, that for major projects over $100 million, maybe it's time that we look at referenda on these issues. And, you know, I do agree with that. I mean, priorities should be set that the people of Saskatoon are on board with. And, you know, you just mentioned on your newscast, you know, the Eastside Leisure Center. So sort of here we go again on, you know, way higher cost than anticipated, much more borrowing than maybe anticipated. And I think, you know, people have concerns about that.
I think a lot of people like the idea of a new library, but they're concerned that if the new library offers the same services as the old library, are we not just opening the door to keeping all of those social problems in the face of people who want to make use of the library with their children, with themselves? We clearly need a plan or some insight into how this is going to operate differently so we don't see those problems.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, I mean, we all love the library, right? I mean, I spent a lot of time in that library. My mom worked there at one time. My dad spent a lot of time in the local history department, you know, the reading room. I took my son there. But it was about, 15 years ago that these stories started surfacing about, you know, the bed bugs and the high social needs and all of that. And as I say, I just think that you're right. I think those issues had to be looked at before we went ahead with building the new one, and at such a huge cost.
It feels like at times, and this is just me as a citizen of Saskatoon, but it feels like at times that the whole library board and the operations of the library are almost a sacred cow that nobody will really touch or be critical of. Do you get that sense?
I don't know. I feel, I mean, yes, to a certain extent. I think that, again, there's a lot of non-knowledge. I mean, they have tried to put out there how they're supposedly funding this. And as I said, one of the things they're talking about is this levy, which I guess, to your point, you know, it's the library levy. Everyone believes in the library and therefore should believe in levies. But again, a levy, as you know, I mean, it's a payment toward a certain thing or a project, like an airport levy or a tourism levy. It's still taxpayer money. And again, I think if your levy is going to go up every single year, and they put out there, you have to sort of go digging for this stuff, but it is out there that if you have an assessed property value of $370,000 in 2024, you paid about $250 a year for library services, including costs toward the new library. And, you know, would most people agree with that? I guess. I'm not, you know, it's not nothing, right, $250 a year, plus now all the borrowing costs and everything else. So to your point, I think just so much of this, you know, we don't have a city page that's going to be published anymore. Meetings are kind of, you know, you have to go digging for them. You have to, you know, if you're going to speak, you have to go through all these forms and everything else. I just think there's a sense that we're not connected on these decisions as much as maybe we used to be. And there just should be more open discussion and debate. Does everyone want a library? They want their levies to go up or not? You know, they should have a chance to weigh in more.
Bronwyn Ayer is my guest, Saskatchewan's former Attorney General and Justice Minister, Senior Fellow at the Aristotle Foundation for Public Policy. I've got two texts that have come in already in our time speaking here, Bronwyn, and both of them are saying, Bronwyn for mayor. So that would be a good a good point to, you know, lay out there as well. So why are you doing this? Why are you making this a mission right now to bring attention to what you see are some issues with this new library? Of course, you were an MLA here in Saskatoon. Are you thinking perhaps civic politics, a return to civic politics for you at some point?
Well, who knows what the future holds, Brent? But honestly, I mean, first of all, politics is local. But I love the city. I miss it. I want my city back. And I think that there's a lot of feeling out there that there are real fundamental problems, whether it's on the spending side or the crime side, our downtown issues like this. you know, where people are having to look at cost of things which they're not necessarily very connected to. And I've, you know, I have posted, it's kind of freeing to be able to go there a little bit and speak, maybe go back to my old commentator self and hat on things that I do care about so much when it comes to the city and get some of this stuff out there. I mean, and there have been a lot of areas which I've gone into, whether it's George Ward Pool or everything else. I mean, I just think there are a lot of things that are happening that I care about and I know people do out there.
I appreciate you joining us. I need to take a quick break. Can you stick around? There's another point I want to talk about, this report that you did in your role with the Aristotle Foundation. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely, Brent.
All right. Hang on just a second. Bronwyn Ayer, our guest on the Evan Bray Show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Cooler temperatures and a little more rain off and on today, tonight, tomorrow for a lot of central and southern Saskatchewan. I think most of us are okay with the rain, but we could sure use some heat, couldn't we? Well, we'll get into the mid-20s later this week here. No sign of a 30-degree temperature, but it'll come, right? As we are heading towards the final days of June. It's our first full day of summer, isn't it? Summer solstice occurred early yesterday morning. Back with our guest, Bronwyn Ayer, as we were talking about Bronwyn's concerns related to the new library being built in Saskatoon, which is due to open sometime next year. Something else, though, that you were recently involved with, Bronwyn, you penned a report released by the Aristotle Foundation for Public Policy looking at the legitimacy of the notwithstanding clause. And you think it's a good thing to have that notwithstanding clause?
Well, I think it's a protector of parliamentary sovereignty. I think it's good for democracy. And I think the main point I make, you know, in the report is that when critics accuse the use of the notwithstanding clause as being undemocratic, and when they say that, you know, it should only be used as an emergency safety valve or only in non-controversial circumstances, whatever those might be, that in fact it's important to remember that two of the founding fathers of the Charter, Alan Blakeney, who obviously known to Saskatchewan, NDP, Premier, mm-hmm. Attorney General, constitutional expert, and Peter Lougheed, who is Progressive Conservative, a Premier of Alberta, what they actually said about it is something I think that does serve as a reality check. I mean, Lougheed said we need to have the supremacy of the legislature over the courts. He said we didn't want public policy to be dictated or determined by non-elected people. And Blakeney said that the clause was needed to ensure that a charter-protected right could be overridden for economic or social reasons, because other rights were found to be more important. Those are direct quotes. The charter, he said, you know, the rights in the charter aren't more important than other rights. So I just think that is important to remember, you know, what these two key penners of the charter actually said about it. And I think it's a sign of desperation that provincial governments have had to resort to invoking the clause just to make policy and pass legislation on everything from back to work legislation to school choice, because the charter and the courts are becoming increasingly politicized.
This really then reins in, I guess, the power of the Supreme Court, you could say?
Well, the Supreme Court, ironically, is deciding right now what the limit and extent of the notwithstanding clause is going to be. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a case which they're deliberating on at the moment, and it really could lay out, you know, the future of the use of the notwithstanding clause. So we have to see where that goes. But again, I think you could be a little bit cynical on this one and ask, why is everyone so concerned suddenly about the use of the notwithstanding clause when Quebec notwithstood everything between 1982 and 85, every single piece of federal legislation. They've used it more than any other province. And then when other provinces suddenly decide to use it, let's say Western provinces in particular, or one could even say small C conservative provinces, then everyone becomes very alarmed, including potentially the Supreme Court. So there's a lot of politics to all of this, mm-hmm. but I do think fundamentally the clause was it was an important part of the charter, and it was there for a reason. And two of the founding drafters of the charter and leaders behind the charter did it for a reason, put it in for a reason.
You say that the notwithstanding clause helps ensure Canadians aren't governed by a handful of unelected judges. Do we need to find a better way, a different way to select our Supreme Court judges?
Well, I mean, that's a whole other issue. I think it's important to remember that earlier Supreme Court justices talked about the importance of not weighing into the political sphere and into political issues, you know, which they weren't directly being asked to weigh in on, and the importance, like John Major, Borilaskin, they were very clear on sort of sticking to your lane, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, whatever else is going on, there's less of that. That judges are weighing in too much on issues. I mean, from, you know, like bike lanes, they're using the charter to weigh in on bike lanes, on needle exchange programs near daycares, all this kind of stuff. It's just becoming too into the policy sphere. And I think for, you know, what the solution is long term to that, if they could just maybe stay more, you know, out of the political realm, that would be a great start.
And if our listeners would like to read that short report you prepared, looking at the legitimacy of the notwithstanding clause, they can go to the website aristotlefoundation.org. Bronwyn Ayer, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Brent.
Bronwyn Ayer, former Saskatchewan MLA, former Saskatchewan Justice Minister and Attorney General. On the Evan Bray Show, Brent Laux with you, filling in. Evan is back in here tomorrow after an extended weekend, I guess you could say. Coming up here, we've got our 9:30 news update, and then following that, we will be taking you to RCMP Depot in Regina, where the Mounties are going to be holding a media briefing related to this incident that occurred in the overnight hours in Melville that has put two RCMP members in hospital with a serious condition, we're told, after they attended to a call of a domestic dispute at a home in Melville last evening. Shots were fired. Two officers, as I say, wounded and taken to hospital in serious condition. About two this morning, two people exited that building in Melville, one person taken into custody. Again, we'll have more on that from that briefing coming up right after the news. This is the Evan Bray Show. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.